Thank you all for being here. As Chaplain Jay always tells us, you are not here by chance. You are here because God has a purpose for your life. He loves you, and we hope that you hear that message today. Well, the substitute teacher was overwhelmed. She was helping to care for a small group of children at a school that specializes in severe disabilities. As she sat with a little boy, you are right. Because when she's singing, I don't want to turn it on. As she sat with a little boy, sorry for that, who seemed extremely agitated, she leaned over to him and whispered into his ears, "Jesus loves you." Immediately the boy's agitation calmed and he began to laugh and make happy sounds. Have you ever thought about the significance of the words "Jesus loves you"? Can anything be more simple yet more profound? Consider what it means to have the Creator of all things to know your name. Think of the comfort in knowing that the great physician has your best interest at heart. Ponder the security of knowing that the Good Shepherd is watching over you right now. Contemplate what it means that the Savior cared enough to die for you. Ponder to this thought-provoking question: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The Bible's answer: nothing in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. What does it mean then to have someone like that love you? Well, what it means is that it means life, peace, joy, and hope. Jesus loves you. What else do you need? Well, this brings me to the heart of the message God has given me from His Word to deliver to you at this blessed hour in your life and my life. So please, I want you to listen carefully to it, not just with your head, but more importantly with your heart, where the Holy Spirit is ready and resolved to plant the seed of God's life-changing and lasting truth in order to change and conform genuine born-again believers among us here today more into the blessed likeness of Jesus Christ, who is the Lord, the leader, and the lover of the church, and to call and convict unbelievers among us here today more into, to convict them of their sin of unbelief in order to gently and graciously draw them to Himself, that they may come and enjoy His love that is being poured out even today. As we have sung, love has come. That is the message for you today. So here's our message in a nutshell. Please, I want you to humbly listen to it with an open heart and an open mind. Here is the message. It's a message of love. The love, listen, Jesus has for His true followers is the same as the love the Father has for Jesus. In other words, Jesus' love for you is the same in quality and degree as the love the Father has for Jesus. Folks, friends, and faithful followers of Christ among us here today, and fellow believers in the fold and flock, fellowship and family of God, the Bible is going to gloriously and glowingly speak to us about the love of God for true believers in Jesus Christ, causing our hearts to melt and move to overflowing joy. Not only that, the tender and touching manner in which the Bible will share its teaching about the love of Jesus for true believers will make us not only rejoice in receiving it, but also in responding to it. So we can receive the message, and then we need to respond to it. And I hope that the love of God today will cause you not only to rejoice in receiving that love, but also in responding to it. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn them to John chapter 15, verse 9 to 11. Will you please listen carefully as I recite our passage of study from the updated New American Standard Bible. The Bible says in John chapter 15, Jesus speaking to his disciples. And he says what? Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is the word of God to the people of God. May the Lord add his blessing to the recital of his holy word. We have before us today a passage of scripture that could accurately be described as profound and personal. First of all, it is profound because it vividly depicts for us the profound eternal relationship of mutual love between the Father and the Son. Just a few verses earlier in John chapter 14, at the end of John chapter 14, verse 31, the Lord Jesus told his disciples of his love for the Father. He said that the world may know that I love the Father. Now, a few verses later, the Lord Jesus spoke of the Father's love for him. So we have this love story going on between the Son and the Father. And the Bible gives us a glimpse of the profound eternal relationship of mutual love between God the Father and God the Son. Divine love is the foundation of their relationship. Well, second, this passage of scripture is personal because it visually describes the Son's personal care and concern for his true believers. Notice Jesus exhorts his disciples, abide in what? My love. Two times he will say that. He calls on them, keep my commandments. My commandments. Then he points them to his example of keeping my Father's commandments. Now, as if this were not enough, Jesus tells them that he's spoken all these things to them for one reason. And what is that reason? That my joy may be in you. My love, my commandments, my Father's commandments, my joy. That, I tell you, friends, visually describes Jesus' personal care and concern for those who are his true followers. He wants them to do what? To embrace and enjoy his love. He wants them to express and exude his joy. Not only that, he wants them to emulate his example of keeping his Father's commandments. Believe it or not, there is so much to learn from our brief gospel story. And I'll share three. There are four, but I'll only have time to share three with you. So, the first spiritual lesson the Holy Spirit wants to bring to our attention is Jesus' awareness of the Father's love for him. When you woke up this morning, do you have any sense, any awareness of God's love for you? Well, I tell you, friends, when Jesus, the God-man, the Son of God, walked on our planet, where he eventually gave his life as the one and only perfect sacrifice for your sins and my sins, he was constantly and keenly aware of his Father's love for him. How precious is that to know? Will you please listen carefully again to what the Bible says at the first part of verse 9? It says what? Just as the Father has loved me. Literally, this reads, as loved me the Father. You see, the emphasis here is on Jesus' awareness of being loved by the Father. He knew that he was the object of the Father's love. He had no doubt at all about the Father's love for him. Can you imagine walking through this life without being aware of God's love for you? I cannot imagine that. But I'm sad to say today that there are many people who are living their lives without having an awareness of God's love for them. Are you known as one who is so aware of God's love for you? When people talk about you, do they say, oh, this man or this woman is so aware of the love of God upon his life or her life? Do you live your life as one who is keenly aware of Jesus' love for you? Or do you go through life ever wondering about God's love for you? Is your life about going through the motions without having any keen awareness of Jesus' love for you? If that is the case, then you'll be an easy prey for the enemy, the devil. Now, it is important to point out here that this is not the only time in the Bible where the Bible speaks of Jesus' awareness of the Father's love for him. Jesus' awareness of his Father's love for him has also been declared in John chapter 3 verse 35, in chapter 5 verse 20, chapter 10 verse 17, chapter 17 verse 23, 24, and 26. So let me read just two of them for us. In chapter 5, Jesus speaks himself about his awareness of his Father's love for him. And I love the way he says it. Verse 20, Jesus says, for the Father loves the Son. Sometimes he uses the third person to describe himself. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. And the Father will show him greater works than this, so that you will marvel. And then in John chapter 17, where he's praying for his disciples and then for the rest of us later to believe in his word, in chapter 17 verse 23, he says, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. How wonderful to see Jesus being so aware of the Father's love and then communicating that to his disciples. Remember, John is called the apostle of love. And he's the only one who wrote about this love relationship going between the Father and the Son. like no other. Now, what's the point of all these scriptures that I've read for you? Well, here's the point. The Bible is emphasizing an important spiritual and practical lesson from Jesus' own life to you and to me. And what is that lesson? Just as the Lord Jesus was keenly aware of the Father's love for him, so also, listen, true believers in Jesus Christ must be what? Keenly aware of Jesus' love for them. If I'm not keenly aware of Jesus' love for me, I'm no different from people who don't believe in Jesus. Because love is what makes the difference in my relationship with God. And if you don't have that keen awareness of God's love for you, then you are just going through the motions. Now, an important question arises at this juncture. And that is, what kind of love is Jesus speaking of here? Well, first of all, it is not eros love having to do with sex. The Greeks talk a great deal about sex. And they had their god Eros and their goddess Aphrodite, the worship of whom involved sex. But that is not the love Jesus is speaking of. Second, it is not phileo love that Jesus is speaking of here. Phileo meaning having deep feeling for someone, or the friendship kind of love. That is why we have the city Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. Now, the love Jesus is speaking of here comes from the Greek verb agapao. And we have the noun agape coming from that verb. And we have churches who call themselves agape church. Well, agapao, the verb Jesus used here, means to place first in one's affection. It also means to cherish. It is the highest word for love that is divine and unconditional. And it speaks of a love that is supernatural, not superficial. It speaks of a love that is supreme, special, strong, sure, steadfast, not shallow and shaky. It speaks of a love that is selfless and sacrificial, not selfish or self-serving. It speaks of a love that seeks God's very, very best for others, not self-seeking. It is a love that speaks of safety and security. We often make the mistake of thinking that we can find safety and security in the love of people, say parents, husbands, wives, boyfriends, girlfriends, sugar daddies, sugar mummies. But in the end, we are disappointed and disillusioned. However, that is not the case of the agapao or agape love of God. It is a love in which you can find safety and security. A love that you can know for sure that God is always, always seeking his very best for you. That is the love that Jesus said the Father has loved him. Well, having emphasized Jesus' awareness of the Father's love for him, the Bible now brings us to the point of examining Jesus' affirmation of his love for his true believers. We see that in the second part of verse 9. The Bible says, just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. So from awareness to affirmation. Literally, this says, I also, you loved. I mean, the Greek put their words in an order to emphasize what they want to emphasize. And here, you notice that you came before love, because Jesus wants to affirm his love for his true believers. He's strongly affirming to true believers that they are what? The object of his selfless and sacrificial love. If the disciples were to ask Jesus, "Jesus, tell us how do you love us?" Well, Jesus gave them a ready and resounding answer even before they thought of the question. He says, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you." You see, what the Bible is teaching us here is very profound and powerful. The Bible is teaching us here, listen carefully now, that Jesus' love for his true disciples is patterned after his Father's love for him. That's the way he loves us. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my all, my life, and my soul. And that is why I love the song we sang, "Love Has Come." Because God is affirming his love for you. It has come. The question is, will you receive it? Well, a few verses later, Jesus again affirms his love for his true followers, whom he calls his friends, using the most tender and touching words ever used in the Bible to affirm his love for his redeemed and ransomed people. The Lord Jesus says what? In John chapter 15 verse 13, "Greater love, greater agape has no man, no one than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." I tell you, friends, Jesus' great love for you and for me is all about doing what? Selflessly, sacrificially laying down his life for you and for me. So we can truly and trustingly and thankfully say and sing, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones belong to him. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, for the Bible tells me so." Please, turn to the person sitting next to you and say to that person, "Jesus loves you." Thank you. Don't forget that. Now, here's an important question for us to consider as we proceed in our message. Did the Father ever affirm his love for the Son while he was here on earth as the God-man? Did he? Well, yes, he did. In a very dramatic and dazzling fashion, at least on two occasions, recorded for us in the Gospel of Matthew. First, remember at his baptism in the Jordan River. And then second, at the Mount of Transfiguration. In both situations, God the Father authoritatively spoke from heaven, saying to Jesus, what? "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Now, the word translated "beloved" is agapetos, which means one who is dearly loved. It's like God is saying to Jesus, "This is my Son, the one dearly loved by me. Listen to him." He tells Peter on the Mount of Transfiguration. You see, just as God the Father had affirmed his love for the Son, so now the Son affirms his love for you and me. How special, how significant, how sweet it is to see Jesus doing what the Father himself is doing. In John chapter 5 verse 19, Jesus tells the disciples that, "I only do what the Father does. And when I saw this connection, I was so thankful to see it." Yes, the Father affirmed his love for him, and then he turns around to affirm his love for you and for me. Amen. How wonderful. Well, in fact, all throughout the Bible, God delights in affirming his love for his disciples. For example, in Jeremiah chapter 31 verse 3, Yahweh says, I have loved you. Almost the same words Jesus used. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you with loving kindness. Bernard Clairvaux says, the true measure of God's love is that he loves us without measure. The true measure of God's love is that he loves you and me without measure. One writer speaks of God's love this way: it is a vast, wide, deep, unmeasurable love that passeth knowledge and can never be fully comprehended by man. It is a deep where all our thoughts are drowned, unquote. So the question to you and to me is, have you accepted God's love for you today? Remember, every day he's offering his love. You have the choice to accept it, and I have the choice to accept it. Have you accepted his love into your heart today? You see, God wants you to accept his love for you. That is why he repeatedly affirmed his love for you. Are you aware of his selfless love for you today? Are you appreciating his selfless, his sacrificial love for you today? And are you allowing his supernatural love to rule and to reign in your heart today? If it is, your life will be a light shining the love and the blessing of God to others. It will be like James and I were talking. Your life will be driving the darkness, because the Bible says the light shines and the darkness cannot comprehend it. But it all begins with me allowing the love of God to rule in my heart, so that I can be that light to shine in the darkness. Now, the Bible now brings us to the point of elaborating on his teaching, focusing on abiding in Jesus' love. We'll see that in the last part of our message, verse 9 to 10. But in the Bible's teaching in abiding in Jesus' love, we see three things which I want to quickly point to your attention. First is Jesus' command. He says, abide in my love. The word abide comes from the Greek verb meno, which also means to dwell, to remain, to continue, to persevere, to stay, to stand firm or steadfast. The command looks at the action of abiding in its entirety, that is from beginning to end. It's as if Jesus is saying to his true followers, from beginning to end of your Christian life, you are to remain, you are to dwell, you are to stand firm, stay in my love for you. You are to remain mindful and responsive of my love for you. You are to continue to realize my love for you, which is the love with which the Father has loved me myself. Embrace this love, enjoy this life, love, and express it in your life. Amen. May I ask you, believer in Jesus Christ, is that happening in your life today? Do you ask the Holy Spirit to help you or enable you to abide in the love of Christ? Now, second, notice in the first part of verse 10, we have a clear direction from Jesus as to how to abide in his love. His clear direction is found in these words. He says in verse 10, beginning of verse 10, if you abide in my love, if you keep my commandments, if you keep my commandments, you will, not you may, you will abide in my love. How do I abide in Jesus' love for me? Well, by keeping or obeying his commandments. Please listen, abiding in Jesus' love is not some emotional or mystical thing. It's defined in terms of what? Obedience to Jesus Christ and his commandments. Now, someone says, I don't like the talk about keeping commandments. Is that not legalism? Is Jesus promoting legalism? Is he legalistic? My friend, may I say to you, far be from Jesus to promote legalism. He's not legalistic. He's what? The Lord, the leader, and the lover of the church.
Amen.
Love and obedience go together. Jesus says, if you love me, you will do what? You will keep my commandments. If you love me, that is what you will do. So, keeping Jesus' commandments leads us on the path of abiding in his love, not adhering to legalism. In fact, this is exactly why the Lord Jesus presents himself as the consummate example of abiding in the Father's love. He says at the end of verse 10, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In other words, he's not telling you something he himself is not doing. You see, the last part of verse 10 says before us our perfect example, that is Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus kept or obeyed the Father's commandments, such as laying down his life for us. Do you know that Jesus had commandments from the Father that he had to keep? And he kept them. One of them is in John chapter 10, verse 17 and 18. He had a commandment from the Father to lay down his life and then take it up again. He kept that and abided in the Father's love. Everything Jesus did was in obedience to the will of the Father. Jesus set the model by his perfect obedience to the Father, which we are to use now as the pattern for our obedience to him. In other words, Jesus' love for the Father was demonstrated by his complete obedience to him. So our love for Christ should be what? Shown by our constant obedience to him. You see, love and obedience are never viewed as isolated, unrelated concepts in Scripture. Love elicits obedience, and obedience demonstrates love. That is the package. They are twins. They go together. Jesus remained in the constant enjoyment of the Father's love because of what? His obedience. Nothing, absolutely nothing, ever came in to mar their sweet relationship. That sweet sense of loving relationship between them. Not only that, Jesus' love for the Father was shown in his obedience to him, and as such, Jesus lived in constant awareness of the Father's love for him. If I'm not obeying God, I will not live in constant awareness of the Father's love for me. Well, similarly, as the true believer's love for Jesus is shown in his or her obedience to Jesus, he or she will also live in constant awareness of Jesus' loving approval. So what difference does this message make in your life and my life today? Well, if you are already a true, genuine, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, this is the difference the Holy Spirit wants to make in your life. First, be assured of Jesus' unchanging, unconditional, unending, unfailing love for you. Be assured of that. Why should you be assured of that love for you, Jesus' love for you? Well, it's because Jesus himself has just affirmed his love for you. Hasn't he?
Yeah.
He did.
Amen.
You are cherished by him. You are placed first in his affections. Second, be aware of Jesus' love for you. Ask the Holy Spirit to enable you to be aware, to sense God's love for you. Because that's what God wants for you. Please don't go through another day without being aware of Jesus' love for you. The devil will want you to go through the motions without being aware of Jesus' love for you. That way, he can fill your mind with his lies and doubts and create doubts in your heart. Jesus doesn't love you, after all. Some of you have heard that voice again and again. But today, you must say no to that voice.
Yes.
And then third, abide in Jesus' love for you by choosing and committing yourself to a life of obeying Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. And also the prayer team here is ready to pray for any other needs in your life or for your family or for your friends. Some of you may have needs for healing in your heart because people have told you they love you, but they disappointed you again and again. And you need healing for that. And we are here to pray for that as well. Now, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, may I say to you, Jesus is also extending his love to you today. How do I know that? Well, because the Bible says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners, Christ died for us. He died for sinners as God demonstrated love towards you. You see, Christ's death on the cross was a demonstration of God's love for sinners like myself, being number one. But the question is, will you accept God's love for you today? How do you accept God's love for you? Well, it's simple and straightforward. First, admit that you are a sinner. Second, acknowledge that you cannot save yourself. And then third, accept with simple and sincere childlike faith that Jesus died on that cross for your sins, that he was buried to put away your sins, and that he rose on that day, the third day, to bring you into a right standing with a holy God. And the Bible says, you'll be saved. You'll be made a new creation with the love of God abounding upon your life until you see Jesus in glory. So the ball is now in your court. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you have any need that you want us to pray for, we are here ready to pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then if you are not a believer and you need to do business with Jesus Christ, please come here and I will pray with you.